Well, I'm going to take a few minutes and study the scriptures with you. And I want to begin with prayer. Would you pray with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This week was the celebration of Simchat Torah at the very end of Sukkot, but we love to dedicate the Shabbat afterwards to a continuation of Simchat Torah. We enjoy carrying the Torah and the Haftorah scroll, young and old, taking time. We enjoy rolling the scroll back and letting everyone have a hand in that process of rolling the scrolls back, and then reading from Bereshit, from the first portion. And so as we're preparing to do that, I want to start with a prophetic scripture that is a new covenantal promise about Torah. If you have your Bibles, you can join me in turning to Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31. And this is a passage that should be familiar, very familiar to everyone who is part of a Messianic congregation. So just repeat after me, Jeremiah 31, 31. There you go. That's pretty easy, isn't it? It's Jeremiah 31, 31. It starts this way, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." This is foundational and important. God is saying, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. You know what that means? God's making a new covenant with the Jewish people. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." So there's going to be some differences. Very important if you're a Messianic Jew to understand two things. There's continuity, but there is some novelty. There's some newness about this work that God is doing. It's also important to remember Jeremiah is a Jewish prophet, and he is also called to be a prophet to the nations. Though for the people Israel, it's not always clear. The Jewish people historically have not fully understood what that means, that Jeremiah is a prophet to the nations. But those of us in the body of Messiah have a better grasp because we understand that the covenant God made with Israel is not only continued and renewed, but it's expanded and extended so that God's plan to reach the whole world can be accomplished through that renewed covenant. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord." It continues, verse 33. "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my Torah in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." One of the great promises that's spoken of here is that through the new covenant, Torah will be written on our hearts and on our minds. And it's not just laid upon, it's actually written on the heart and the mind. It's put inside of us. The Hebrew makes it clear, it goes inside, it's within. It's not meant to just be external rules and regulations. It's not just a moral code and an ethical code, though it is that as well. It's meant to be the source of life for us, within us, on our hearts and our minds. It's saying in the Hebrew that God is going to write his Torah on the very seat of our thought and emotion, and it's not written in pencil. It's not written in washable ink. You could translate it perhaps engraved or inscribed or etched or imprinted. And I like the word imprinted only because it makes me think that we're like ducklings and gosling. You know, that we can be imprinted. And we start following what's imprinted upon us. We're not following a goose. We're not following a duck. We are following a lamb, who's also a lion. And if we only knew him as a lion, we probably wouldn't follow him because he's too scary. And so we see him as a lamb. It's like, oh, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. How nice. But every so often, he'll turn around and roar. And it can be scary. It says that one of the distinctions between the covenant that was given at Sinai and the renewed or new covenant is that everyone will know the Lord. Everyone will have intimacy. Everyone will have closeness that will be, you know, close and personal with God. That's a promise, and that's an elevation of the covenant, because the covenant is not simply theological, nor is it simply legal. It's not just a matter of what we study, but Yeshua taught us that to learn and to do, this is the key to spiritual life, to hear, to learn, but not to put into practice, this will get you nowhere. Yeshua tells the story that the storm came to every kind of person. To the foolish one, it came one way, because the foolish one heard the words of Yeshua, heard his teachings, but did not put them into practice. So having knowledge that's not accompanied by our life, this leaves us, according to Yeshua's telling, as fools. And you know what that means? When the storm comes, your house will come crashing down. Now, we know something about that here in Jacksonville because we just had a big storm. And we saw things crashing down. How many of you saw things crashing down? So you know what it's like when things crash down. But Yeshua said the one who hears his word and puts it into practice, this is the one who experiences the storm, but because they built their house on rock, their house remains standing. So the same storm comes, but not only that, both kinds of people hear the word, but only one puts it into practice. So the foolish one thinks just by hearing and knowing about the teachings of Messiah, that's enough. But the wise one, the wise builder, the good builder, the one who really knows what life is all about, learns to put into practice the things that Yeshua taught. So this is a promise, and it's a promise that's important to us, a promise that God will write to Ra on our hearts and on our minds. And maybe you've had this experience where you're going about your life in the way you normally do, and you remember something from the scripture, and it becomes a caution to you, or it becomes a direction to you, or it becomes an answer to you. And maybe you've had this experience where you're reading the scripture, a passage you could be familiar with, and it's like you had never read it before, and it became alive to you. How many have had that experience? Something very familiar becomes new and fresh. You see, it's alive. The word of God is active and alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It can distinguish between the things of the soul and the things of the spirit. It can separate the things of the soul and the spirit. And it can distinguish between bone and marrow, which is interesting because marrow, which is inside the bone, this is where blood is made. This is where life comes from. Bone is necessary. You can't have marrow without bone, but you can have bone without marrow. Bone without marrow is dead, but marrow all by itself is also dead. Marrow inside of bone is a sign of life, and not only that, the rigidity of the bone gives structure. And so God is interested in life and structure and order. If you've ever broken a bone, you know how limiting it is until the bone is healed. So the scripture promises us many things about itself, about Torah. And as we're getting ready to celebrate Simchat Torah tomorrow, we're going to read from the Torah scroll, and we will, as we always do, we will read from the very first verses, in addition, perhaps, other verses. But the Torah opens with these simple words, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the special word for creation, bara, means to create out of nothing. So that's how the scripture begins. So Torah opens not with Sinai, not with the covenant, but it opens with this. It tells us that the creation that we are living in is God's creation. He made it, its origin is in him, and guess what? It belongs to him. He created it by his sovereign will and his power. He created it by his word. He speaks and he makes it come to pass. He calls things that are not as though they were. And then those famous words that Yeshua said to Hasatan, to the adversary, he said, man will not live by bread alone, but by all the words that proceed from the mouth of God. And he was quoting from Deuteronomy. So if you have your scriptures, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll look at just a few verses, 2 through 4, which is not part of our reading, but it's a good scripture at the end of Sukkot. It says this, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. So this is Moses' instruction at the end of his time with Israel. So that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you, and he let you be hungry. He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, so that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell. These 40 years, it goes on and on. And so it's saying this powerful statement that the words that come from God that have been written in Torah, in the prophets, in the writings, in Habrit HaKadosha, these words give us life. They bring life to us. And you can't live without them. What God is saying is so important. Don't think that you can live without God's word. It's oxygen for us. It's life for us. In Genesis chapter 1, we also learn that you and I are God's creation. We are made by the Lord. He made us, and our origin is in him. So this is from the Torah portion for tomorrow, Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. It says this, God said, let the land produce living creatures. Let the earth produce. It's interesting. That helps you understand that the earth was created by God for the purpose of life that he wanted to bring forth. Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And then verse 26, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So this description of creation is the creation of both men and women together. And so here we have this important understanding. What is foundational? What's the first thing that you need to know according to the structure of the scriptures? And it's this, God created. God created the universe we're living in, and God created us. So when you look at each other, you might take notice of you know, what kind of clothes is that person wearing? How much hair do they have? What's the color of their hair? How tall are they? How heavy are they? How attractive or unattractive they are? Do they smile? Are they grumpy? You might look at all those external things, but I want to encourage you to look beyond that and to look at the heart, and also to look in recognition of something, that that person who you're taking notice of is God's creation. So when you're thinking about being ugly to people who don't agree with you on your politics or this or that, remember, that's one of God's creatures. Be careful with them. And try to do something that is hard to do, and that is to show love. God created us, each one of us, a little different. And he wants us to appreciate that differences. And the fact is, we need that difference. We have 2 feet, right? Try to walk very far with just one. It's hard. We have 2 eyes. If you lose the sight of one, it's hard to see distance, isn't it? We have 2 ears. You know, it's hard to locate things if both ears aren't working. It's hard to pick out the voice of someone in a crowd if you don't have both ears working. But interestingly, we have how many mouths? Just one. Yeah. So that we can work it, you know, like halftime compared to everything else. We have to be more careful with the mouth and with the tongue, right? Lashon hara, evil speaking, evil tongue. You know, it's a particular part of the human body that can get us into trouble. I mean, there's some other parts that can get us into trouble, but the tongue is really particular. So I want to encourage you, as we are thanking God for Torah, as we're thanking him for all the writings of the scriptures and the writings of the apostles who declared that the Torah and all of Tanakh is breathed by the Holy Spirit. As we're thanking God, I want you to ask God to give you joy, real joy in Torah. The Torah of God, the instruction of God, the word of God that has been transmitted to us is a source of joy. We're not to be just fighting over it and bickering and arguing with each other. We are to find life in Torah, life that we can share with other people. So I want to encourage you to be strong in the celebration tomorrow and to take that with you into the next few weeks. What day is Election Day? The 8th? November 8th. And it's a Tuesday, right? Because it's always a Tuesday, right? I want to encourage you to be interceding for people, to keep faithful with God no matter how the election goes, and to be keeping faithful in loving one another, but also to vote. Don't just withdraw, and don't get depressed, and don't get gloating, but instead say, Lord, help us. We really need help. And don't forget that great message from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, not the world's wicked ways, our wicked ways, God says, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So you know what that means? We're the trouble, and we have an opportunity to contribute to the solution as well. But we have to turn. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for Torah. Thank you for all those who have been faithful to write down the scriptures and to transfer it from generation to generation in such a committed and flawless way, to be so utterly careful in the transmission of your word. We are so grateful. Lord, thank you for the fact that the word is active and alive and that it's breathed by God. It's useful for instruction and correction, and we are so grateful. And thank you, Lord, that there's joy in your Torah, and we pray that that life and joy and the righteousness that that you reveal through Messiah Yeshua in the Word of God, that that could empower us and equip us for all that's ahead. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? Thank you. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'yuhunecha yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom, chag sameach, and see you tomorrow.